You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
So it's May the 4th, right? So it's Star Wars Day. It's International Star Wars Day. Everybody knows that.
I'm with you so far.
And I thought, well, I'm going to have to do some sort of Star Wars themed intro, because it was my turn to do the intro this week. But I spent all 12 hours of my work today, on top of doing my job, trying to think of something, and I just, the creative juices just weren't flowing.
So you've just come up with an elaborate excuse.
No. I've got some...
He's going to scream like a Wookiee.
Not quite. I've got some character comparisons for you. So Obviously, Trent, you would be Darth Vader, because... You're a moody, broody git at the best of times, right? That's out of the way done. Yes, he agrees. So we've got Mark. So if we go the age route, we've got Obi-Wan. If we go the looks comparison, we've got Chewie, clearly. And then we've got Dice Woman Tanya with us this evening. Hello, Tanya.
Hello.
So, we can't just say she's Princess Leia, the token
female.
I was going to say that.
Choose your next words carefully.
The boringest thing would be to say Princess Leia, which is fine.
Well, there is only one woman in the Star Wars.
But however, it is kind of a bit boring. It's a bit obvious. And obviously, since you're the main Dice Lady co-host, it's a kind of a little bit sexist, and I would not like to offend you in that way at all. So I figured you could be that fish guy that says it's a trap instead. So I figured that'd be better.
It's a trap.
Oh, now it's just a redhead thing.
And then,
rude.
Obviously, I would be Luke Skywalker because
obviously
the boyish good looks, as well as if I keep playing with my saber, I will lose a hand eventually. Mm. I have been told that. Mm. And
I prefer to think of you as BB-88.
Well, I am a bit roly. That's
just
true.
Just a set of balls.
And then Garth's just a Jawa. That's just. There's no explanation needed there. That was just it.
Actually, he's more like the power droid from the first Star Wars, just a big sort of square blockhead.
Oh, yes, that's a good point.
I mean, definitely a robot.
Either way, we'll put him in the desert regardless. Anyway.
I'd like to say I could see myself being an Ewok. I'm small, cute, furry, eats men for breakfast.
Nah, fish guy. We're going with fish guy for you, Tanya. Anywho, so this is The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. It is episode 164 on, yes, this Thursday, May the 4th. This week brought to you by Area 52, Hobart's longest running brick and mortar game and comic book store, who have some awesome stuff coming up next week, which we're going to tell you about during the show. But Trenty boy, what are we doing this evening?
A lot of stuff to get through, so without any further ado...
That lovely bouncy little tune was the Dillinger Escape Plan with Apologies Not Included.
I got my ticket to see them live. Last ever tour of Australia. They're breaking up. One more time around, I'm there.
That is going to be awesome. So this is Edge Radio 99.3 FM with The Dice Men Cometh. This week brought to you by Area 52. And next week, I forgot to look up the date while that song was playing because it was so fascinating. Next Saturday, which is the 13th, there will be a meeting of the Silver Bullet Society, who have some very sexy hosts, so I hear, having a giant werewolf night. So anyone who wants to come along to that, feel free. You can get to meet and greet the Dice Men.
Your second giant werewolf night at Area 52.
Indeed it is.
Quite a few people turned up to the first one.
About 70-odd or so. And if we can get about the same, we'll be happy as Larry.
So it's Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker while Admiral Ackbar looks on.
Yep.
Tonight.
We've all seen that before.
We're gonna get into what Admiral Tanya's been doing lately with Jelly Bean Games very soon. But first, we always start the show with what we've been playing lately, or more specifically, what I've been playing lately, which is Legendary Encounters, the alien deck building game, to give it its full title. And more specifically...
I was going to say, there's more.
Yeah. The Legendary Encounters, an alien dice deck building game... expansion.
Which I'm sure has a name. Or is it just called The Expansion?
It's all it is.
Really?
That's actually the official title.
Well, they just got lazy after they used those other 10 words.
Or as we know it, the Alien Queen expansion.
There you go.
Just in time for Covenant. Are we all excited about Covenant?
Yeah.
No.
Not really? Really?
I mean, because
Luke and Darth are really going to have an argument here.
That's because I've seen Prometheus, that's why.
You need to go back and watch Prometheus again.
No.
It's a film that actually improves because I was like you, walked out of the cinema angry. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, nothing will ever make me forgive Charlize Theron
for not turning sideways.
Running in a straight bloody line.
I remember when we watched the new Mad Max film, as soon as she turns that big rig left, I was like, she can do it! See? She can bloody do it!
Watch Prometheus again. It leads straight into the new one. Anyway.
Anywho. Board games, apparently, that's what we do.
Very much looking forward to the return of the Xenomorph. But here we have it on our tabletop, thanks to Upper Deck Entertainment. The Legendary Encounters game, it's fully compatible with the Predator version of this, the Marvel Legendary, and probably the Firefly title as well. But do you really want to do that?
No.
No.
I mean, I'd watch an alien attack the Firefly crew.
I'll give you that. I was thinking more Captain America beaten up on a Predator. But now I've said those words, now that's the only thing I want to say.
So, look, a very quick recap of the actual Legendary Encounter game. It's a co-op, mostly.
give or take.
1 to 5 players. You have a lovely mouse mat on which you build up the particular scenario that you want to play through. You create a barracks deck, and that's got a bunch of different characters from the four films in it. You can mix and match, although usually you just play through the films, of course. Each turn, aliens are dealt from that scenario deck, which is called the Hive, into the complex, and they start sliding across as the game progresses. You're buying cards out of the barracks to build up your basic deck and to give yourself more options, more power. It's got real variety, real replayability, and and you can, as I say, mix up the objectives and all the characters. And it can also be quite challenging, especially when your friends start turning against you as they start getting facehugger cards into their decks and turn into aliens. And then there's also a hidden traitor mechanic if you want to play that way. It's all modular.
Much like Alien Resurrection.
Modular.
No, the traitor mechanic. Sorry, I was a sentence behind you.
Okay.
But yeah.
And that modular approach continues with the expansion. And I guess like any good expansion, it gives you more of the same. You've played Alien Legendary. Tanya, you're looking at me blankly while I go through all of this.
I never played it.
Leon, you've played it.
I have. I've played it a couple of times. Got absolutely slaughtered both times, but I did enjoy it immensely.
Two new characters from each film are included in the box, but bizarrely, no Vasquez.
Huh.
Really?
Like, she's the best.
I know. Fan favourite.
Wow.
Not actually included. It's got me stuffed.
So who are the two from...
They've thrown in Gorman.
Right.
I mean, which is cool, because Gorman does have some of the best moments in the film.
Yeah, true.
And Drake, the other smart gun operator, not Vasquez. Can you believe it?
What? The one that, spoilers from 30 years ago, doesn't last very long.
You've just wrecked that movie for everybody. Yeah,
there's no point. Some guy dies in one of those films. I know, I've just spoiled the whole thing.
There is at least a card in the Gorman deck, which is labelled, "You always were an a-hole Gorman."
I think I saw the art for that. Yeah, no, that's good.
Every scenario now has a hard mode.
Right. Because that was necessary.
Exactly. So the locations and the objectives can be switched onto a hard mode. There's new drones, new alien soldiers, new strike cards to add into those decks.
And more hurt, basically.
More hurt, including a particularly juicy slow gestation strike card.
Ooh. I don't like the look on his face, can you? I don't like the look of that at all.
It's essentially, it's a face hugger that you kind of can't get rid of. It just keeps coming round and round again.
Oh.
And two new scenarios not based on films. So Prometheus has not made it into the game.
Are they based off comics, perhaps?
No, just brand new properties. But and I know everybody goes, but they're actually not bad because they introduce some new mechanics as well. Alien Incursion brings in flying aliens.
Yep,
that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That because Covenant's part of a new trilogy. You can't tell me we'll get through that without...
Well, I mean, the aliens take on traits of whatever creature they're gestating,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, you get an alien inside an eagle and you're in trouble.
And we've already had swimming aliens.
True.
Yes, we have.
Right? There's also Alien Evolved, which has got sort of enhanced genetically engineered
aliens. Don't you ever just
want
to see how ridiculous they can go with it? Like penguin aliens.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, great.
I look forward to that.
I'd pay good money for penguin aliens. Yeah.
But the big thing that this expansion brings is the Queen Mother mode. And this is what my 10-year-old daughter wants to play all the time. She just wants to be the alien queen.
Is this just where you light every card on the table on fire?
The Queen Mother gets her own separate mouse pad, an entirely different starter deck, and a whole bunch of new abilities. She can spend strike points to attack the players in a few different ways. She can bite them, a nice direct attack, but of course with two mouths.
Well, yes, that makes so logical
you
sense.
Literally, you draw two strike cards and pick one.
Oh, that's quite clever.
You can grab the other characters, that is, steal characters from the barracks, and then actually send them back in as aliens.
Yep.
You can hunt, which means forcing players to discard cards, and rush, which is basically adding more cards into the complex. It makes life very, very hard.
See, that's why, and I might be jumping ahead here a little bit. That's the one thing I looked at this expansion and kind of went, I mean, playing as the queen with your own little board, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That, and it looks cool as, but this game is hard enough as it is. It's the equivalent for me is Ghost Stories, one of my favourite games.
Yep.
That's got several different expansions to that as well, which I've bought one of them and never used.
And that's a co-op?
Yes, because with that version of the game, it adds more stuff, but it doesn't make it any easier. And that game is hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
It actually makes it more complicated, and it's still just as difficult. So that's what I'm thinking with this Alien expansion. Like, it looks really cool, but did you need it from a difficult standpoint?
We were already enjoying it. And I guess, you know, the property aside, it's a pretty good game system.
Yeah,
the Legendary system has survived through several different properties now.
Yeah, and they've not just every expansion they've brought out for all their different kinds of legendaries. They have innovated with all of them, with new mechanics and new different things. So it's not just completely copy and pasted all the different ones.
This is a particularly good deployment of it.
Yes, certainly is.
The thing is, you need to find the sweet spot for your group.
Yes.
Because it is, as I say, modular, and it comes with a chart to adjust the difficulty of it.
Okay.
And I won't go into all that, how exactly you can do it now, but there's quite a bit of setup with the way you build the decks in these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically the more drone cards you put into each particular section of the deck, the easier you can apparently make it.
Yeah.
I suggest if you're going to play with the Queen Mother, then you make it really, really easy.
Yes.
As easy as you can, because we've played this a couple of times now and not won it against her once.
Yes. And my assumption would be, if this is like any other legendary game that I've played, it says on the box like 1 to 5, anything more than 3... and it's probably nearly unwinnable, because you just don't get around to the people's turns enough. You don't get to build up a deck of really cool cards, and you just get slaughtered before you've even had two turns.
There's a function in this version of Legendary, which I don't believe is in the other versions, and that's called Coordinate.
Yes, that isn't. Yep, that definitely helps that condition.
Yeah, okay,
sure.
so where everybody works together, everyone can throw in cards to one attack. You need to do that. That's the only way you're going to win,
yes.
Particularly if you play in this mode.
True.
But we haven't done it yet. We haven't managed to do it. But I just want to keep on trying, because I just want to find that sweet spot where it actually becomes a real game. But if you throw in the hidden traitor, if you throw in the module where the players can turn into aliens,
yeah,
I mean, you're going to have a fun night. But
oh yeah,
but you're doomed.
Oh yeah,
you're just doomed.
But my game of the year last year was the Grizzled, and I don't think I've won that yet. But it's just amazing, even though you get slaughtered all the time.
Yeah,
and
true.
I
thought it was just that my group was terrible at games.
No,
thank God.
It's,
we played it, and we haven't won it.
Grizzled?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Not once.
It's not unfair. That's the big thing.
Right.
Is that when people say about things being tough, if they're unfair as well, then they're badly designed.
Mm.
Hard is fine as long as you enjoy the difficulty of it.
And Grizzled has a real elegance.
Yeah.
And simplicity to it.
Yeah.
Which certainly Alien Legendary does not
no.
have.
It's not the most difficult thing in the world, but it's definitely not the most simplest, that's as well.
Look, I think the best thing I can say is that if you enjoyed Legendary Encounters and you want more of it, your money will not be going to waste.
No.
If you throw down for this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. And even better, you've got so much empty space in that original box that you shelled out for. There's plenty of room just to pack the expansion in with that.
Sounds lovely.
So that's what we've been playing lately. Now we're going to find out what Tanya's been doing lately, working flat stick for Jelly Bean Games.
It's true.
Yep, that's coming up next. It's the Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Wet Lips Can't Take It Anymore, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. This is the Dice Men Cometh with Vader and Son and Fish Chick. Looking on with thanks
to
thanks to the peeps at Area 52, where you can get your Star Wars memorabilia for Star Wars Day or any other day of the year.
Yeah,
and where I bought my Alien Legendary expansion, actually.
Ooh, lovely.
Yeah. No, Schwartz was great. He chased it up for me. Yeah.
Excellent, good lad.
Now we're going to talk Tanya. We're going to talk Jelly Bean Games. We're going
My
to talk
favorite subject.
We're going to talk illustration. We're going to talk busy, 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 which is what you've been.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, so mad busy. So I know you guys followed the Kickstarter when it was on for Lady and the Tiger.
Right. Yes, we did indeed.
Yep. So that did really well.
Because you're living the dream, working. You're actually working full time on games.
On games, yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good. So you know, the worst problems in my life are like, you know, oh, that tiger doesn't look tigery enough. That's what keeps me awake at night. Can't get this line exactly right. You know, Hitler was a failed artist, though, so watch out.
Okay.
And she's an admiral as well already, so she's already got the rank.
You're all in trouble. So we have about 11 illustrations left to go on Lady and the Tiger because we unlocked all of our stretch goals.
It's such a pain, isn't it? Now you've got to do all this extra work.
I know. Like, I was sort of thinking to myself, if it does really badly, at least I can just do the next game now.
We'll make sure not to promote the next one for you. How about that?
Oh, thanks.
We're gentlemen, if not anything.
Yeah, because it is all our fault. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Cool. So we've got unique art for every card coming up, and that'll be great. But I've been doing something else in the meantime.
Which is?
We're doing some t-shirts, some board gaming themed, very brightly coloured, beautiful looking t-shirts, because we looked around and it's like, you know, video gamers, they have like the best wearable merch, and board gamers, just there's nothing out there.
You've spotted the gap in the market, haven't you?
There is a gap. It's sad. Yeah. The only board gaming t-shirts are really usually text-based, or, you know, they're trying too hard to look cool, like mainstream, and I'm like, you know, if you know board gamers, we don't care about looking cool. not cool.
I see a lot of D20 t-shirts that say, "That's how I roll."
Yes.
And that's about it.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Which was a good idea, and then someone just went, "Yeah, that's good enough." As opposed to, how about we do lots of more things
and
put them in board game stores and people will buy them?
Yeah.
And so, that was 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So every shirt that's come out since has been some variation on that. So, yeah, we're doing something a bit different.
So any hints on that? I mean, are you going to be borrowing different companies' properties?
Dice Man Star Wars?
There are a couple of neat little references on a couple of them. We have a Soviet-era themed poster-type design that uses meeples.
Nice.
That has like a joke about, you know, that the power of placement is in the workers' hands, that kind of thing. I can't remember the exact phrasing, but yeah. And we've got another one, which is a board game box that's been half unpacked and there's a cat sitting in it. And this tail covers up just enough of the word Catan so it says cat. Cat in a box. You can't beat a cat in a box. The internet loves cats in boxes.
Oh, my God. You're just a license to print money.
I hate people more talented than me. Anyway, Dracula's Feast, that was also a thing that you did.
Yes, and that one's off at the printer right now.
Yes, I was going to say, that should not be far away as well.
It is not far away. It's waiting for, actually, my final check on the final cards, which are at the PO box on this very campus as we speak.
Oh, so it's your fault. Otherwise, we'd all have it already.
Fault.
Oh, that's
fine. 100% my fault. That's Everything fine. Is my fault.
The thing I find interesting comparing Dracula's Feast and The Lady and the Tiger is that the art is so diametrically opposed.
Oh, yeah.
It's so totally different. So you've obviously got to bring that versatility, and I think that's as good a illustration. See what I did there?
Oh, Mark would be proud.
Of what it takes to be a professional illustrator, to be able to turn your hand to anything. But what can you tell us about the challenge that represents?
Yeah, well, to me, it's actually a benefit to be asked to do a different style with each game because I get bored really easily. So if I'm drawing the same sort of thing for, you know, more than, say, 2 months, I start to want to pluck out my own eyeballs, you know. So, going from Dracula's Feast to, you know, Lady and the Tiger was great. It was like a breath of fresh air. And also, Dracula's Feast, definitely not my native style. Like, it's not, you know, what I default to. It was a stretch for me. I had to figure out a lot of new techniques to get those crazy little hatched lines and stuff. But Lady and the Tiger is very much like how I draw when I'm just sitting down to draw for funsies. So,
funsies is always good, especially when you're getting paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you've just come back from Sydney, which is a place in Australia. You went to the GX convention, I believe it's called.
I did.
This is the second year that it's been running, and its tagline is, it is the most inclusive, convention in Australia.
That's
now, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, well, the sad news, I'll go the bad news and then the good news, I guess. The sad news is it was the second and final year of GX because they just had so much trouble, you know, raising funds for it. Conventions are really expensive to run.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, gaming is, you know, still kind of niche, so you've got people like PAX kind of dominating convention circuit.
That is sad.
Yeah, but it was amazing fun. So what it is I think they noticed what I did at places like PAX, where sometimes you'll be sitting in the audience of an event and you'll look around and you are the lone girl in a sea of white men. Just a sea, an ocean even. And it's at the point where conventions like that actually create little, safe spaces and separate rooms and things for people who feel like they don't fit in. Now, that's a problem. I mean, yeah.
At PAX, they have the Diversity Lounge,
which
is where my wife spent quite a bit of time when we went to PAX last year, and she met some lovely people and had an absolute blast.
Yeah, well, I mean, the kind of people you find in the Diversity Lounge are, like, amazing people. They're really interesting and they're open. And so this was a convention
Not just old white men.
Well, exactly. Sorry.
Although they're...
It's fine. It's quite okay.
Yeah. I looked straight at you when I said that.
Yeah, no, look, it's fine. I didn't actually have any say in it, but it doesn't mean that I need to be an idiot about it. So it's fine.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think a bunch of people just got together and said, why don't we have a whole convention that's like tailored towards that? And even the panels are sort of about how to get more diversity into your games if you're a designer, and that kind of issue that people who are not sort of your average target audience for mainstream games sort of confront.
Because, of course, all this started coming to the fore, in fact, during, and I sort of half know the history here, there was a PAX event in the States where one of the organisers, I can't remember his name, so as I say, I'm talking completely out my butt here.
Jerry Holkins and Mike Krulunik.
Oh, there you go. Made some quite homophobic remarks in relation to the audience that was turning up. And there was a huge backlash.
Yes.
And look, credit where credit's due, they have tried to correct that.
They've tried really hard. So I really like both those guys. Like, I'm a fan of their work, and I love the comic. And
Well, Penny Arcade's Penny Arcade,
Mike, the artist, I think he's sort of on the spectrum or something because he has zero filter. Like, I mean, that is, that's not a criticism at all. My husband's on the spectrum and they're the best people in the world. They have zero filter. They will tell you exactly what they think, which can be great. But when you're, the organizer of a convention.
Yeah.
You've got to watch what you say.
You've got to watch what you say sometimes. Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, we all say stupid things. It's just sometimes there's microphones in our faces when we say it.
Well,
sadly.
Speaking as an old white guy, the change in public attitude to things like homosexuality or sexual diversity, what have you, in my lifetime is incredible.
Is
incredible. I mean, because I've grown up in an era of, well, let's call it what everybody called it at the time, poofta bashing.
Yeah.
Okay. Where now you can barely utter that stuff, and certainly you wouldn't dream of saying that phrase on the radio.
No, you would not.
No,
that would be ridiculous. Out of context, that would be ridiculous.
So perhaps the fact that GX, that audience, has a demonstrated audience, and now because money has to be made, has to be folded into the quote unquote mainstream conventions.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think the fact that GX did exist, we had 2 good years kind of thing. I think that was a really positive thing that possibly sort of at least brought that to the attention of people a little more.
Yeah, just because sadly this convention has only done these 2 years doesn't mean this ideal is going away.
Exactly.
Which is the exact point, that this is a thing that should have been around for a very long time and is going to be here to stay.
Yeah.
So it's just going to make things better. Also, while you were there, you were on a panel.
Yes, it was called You Should Make a Board Game.
Ah.
Because there's nothing better than turning the thing you love into the daily grind that you rely on for money.
That's the spirit.
Oh.
So how did that all go anyway?
Yeah, it went really well. It was just a really lovely panel, really diverse backgrounds. You had a couple of people from the RPG kind of world there who write modules and things like that, so I'm a bit jelly of them.
Yep, a friend of ours, Sai, was on there as well.
He's a friend of mine too. Yes. Hey, small world. Sai's amazing. It was a good panel. We had a great audience too. They didn't do that thing where they stand up and make a statement instead of asking a damn question. You know that thing?
Yeah.
If you've ever...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Hate that thing. There's always one, but there wasn't today.
No, so... I remember because we did a panel at PAX one time and we made a point, if you're going to stand up and get the microphone, ask a question.
Yes.
They usually begin with a what, why, how, or who.
Yes, exactly. Doesn't help. We just covered a lot of stuff like... you know, playtesting your game. Please playtest your game. Do it yes. a lot. Do it way more than you think you'll have to, and then do it some more.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked about blind playtesting as well, which is where you put the game and the rules down in front of your testers, and then you stand back and you don't interfere. They don't get to ask questions or anything like that. And that gives you an opportunity to watch how people actually play the game, what problems they really run into, instead of at the end they sort of come and go, oh, that was great, when you've been standing there watching them be frustrated, you know?
It's the same with anything. You can put a solution in front of somebody and they could get it in 30 seconds, whereas somebody else could take a week to do it.
Yeah.
You just never tell. Yeah.
Can I ask an even more basic question about board game design, yeah. though? How do you know if you've got a crap idea?
That's a really good question. I think if after the first few playtests people hate it, that's always a good indication. I think if it takes forever to explain like the rules and the conceit of the game, that's another you know, danger sign. But then I'm into the kind of games where the rules only take two or three pages, you know, the fast and play yeah. fast and loose, get it out there on the table.
Something to be said for it.
Yeah, I don't like the real crunchy stuff.
So while you're actually there, did you get to play anything?
I didn't get to play much, actually. I was really busy socializing and such, but I did play this one.
What? Call yourself a gamer?
So hard talking to people as if you do that. Oh, hang on.
But
hello.
I did play one called Regency Robots, which isn't actually on the market yet. The
yes.
creator, Clinton, was there, and he was running playtests again for people, and he was trying out a few different moves. But it's this really clever little game where you've got a battle mat with hexes,
yeah.
and there's a central castle, and you start out with a robot prince and his little robot army.
Because this is just making me, the title's making me think of Jane Austen
with
robots.
I reckon the title's not quite there, but the art's looking real cute.
I just heard hexes and went, ooh.
Yeah.
I do like a hex in the game. I don't know why.
And the prince is only one poker chip, but the other, you know, his members of his army, are little stacks of poker chips. So you've got health, essentially.
Okay.
So each time you take some damage, you lose a couple of chips, depending on the nature of the damage.
Nice little idea.
And it was really fun, actually. There was a couple of ways to win. You could either capture enough of the enemy's people, or you could just, you know, claim the central palace. But I really liked the mechanics of it. It was like Hive, but I think I actually enjoyed it more than Hive.
Whoa. Yeah. High praise.
Big
high
words.
Praise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Very much so. Very much so. Any other highlights from GX?
Oh, that was the main stuff.
Big turnout.
Oh, I tell you what, Olympic Park is really creepy.
Yeah,
really
right,
creepy. It was held in Olympic Park, and it's like this beautiful planned suburb, you guys, that is completely empty, devoid of life, like a zombie apocalypse.
Only times I've ever been there have been for gigs. So.
I was going to say, I went to Soundwave. I think that was
sure.
Olympic
Park. Well, see, you would have arrived with a crowd, so you would have been fine.
Yeah, there was me and a few other people, mostly just, you know, jeans and black shirt. I mean, about 50,000 of us, give or take.
Well, if you came out of the hotel like before 10 a.m. when the convention kicked off, it was dead. Like, definite zombie town.
Yeah, that sort of feeling of a big empty underground car park.
So I loved it, obviously.
I know, I used to like hanging around in underground car parks when they were empty.
Well, that says a lot.
Yes, maybe it does. All right, so anything else for Tanya, Leon?
Nah, she's all right, she can go. She's
yep.
All right, off I go. Bye.
Right.
Nah, we might keep her around for a bit longer.
All right, we're going to talk board gaming news next. Although, as I understand, Mark last week muscled into my territory and started doing some board gaming news of his own.
Yeah, see, we do this show every week, with or without you, and sometimes, you know, people like to hear the news and stuff, and then sometimes we even listen to it ourselves, so we actually know what's going on.
Oh.
So, yeah, so...
Is that a thing?
Basically, well, I'm the editor, so I always have to bloody listen to it several times, unfortunately. So we're going to do some news, and if you've heard it before for a few seconds, I'm just going to yell in Trent's face.
Okay, done. Yeah. That's next. Diceman Cometh, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Tassie's Peter Escott and Slow Coach is the name of that song, appropriately enough, on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The Dice Man Cometh, talking board games and card games, and particularly Australian board games and card games. We're lucky enough to have Dice Lady Tanya here joining us tonight, and next week more local talent.
Yes,
in
indeed.
The studio.
We have some of them interstater folks. We have some of the lovely fellows from Rule and Make Games, good friends of ours, coming down to visit us in little old Tassie. So next Saturday night, we're holding the Werewolf Night I mentioned earlier. But now, we've very quickly thrown together an event on next Friday night, also at our sponsor this week, Area 52, where the Rule and Make boys are going to be testing their new prototype for a game called Hand of Fate, which is based off a video game, as well as bringing
the adaptation,
which is as well as bringing some of their other awesome games down. So if you ever wanted to meet, you know, a game developer, game designers, they're going to be there, and we're going to be there, and it's going to be good fun. And they're going to bring, what's that game that I can't pronounce? Entropy. They're going to bring that with. I think I just did I just do it right?
No, no.
Entropy.
which is an apt description also of your vocal prowess. So.
It's one of those things that I know I'm going to get it wrong, so in my head I just go, just pick one of them and be confident with it. And it's always the wrong one.
All right, so Friday week at Area 52, proud supporters of the Dice Men Cometh, yes. Now doing board gaming news. All right, so pick me up if I'm...
I've got the egg timer ready to throw at you.
Okay. Gloomhaven.
Yes.
By Cephalofair Games.
Yes.
Has closed the Kickstarter for its second printing.
Yes.
Just shy of $4 million US. That it's raised.
How did that happen? Because you weren't too big on it. So how did it raise $4
million? 40,642 backers. It is now the sixth most popular Kickstarter ever.
Wow.
Which proves nothing.
Is it the most popular game Kickstarter? Oh, no, it wouldn't be.
No,
most popular Kickstarter game, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is what I should have said. No, that still goes to Kingdom Death.
Right.
The, you know, that miniatures porn. Yeah.
And then you've got some zombie side in there, I'm sure.
Exploding kittens. Anybody? Okay, the fact that it's raised so much money does not prove that it's a great game.
No.
Are you familiar with Gloomhaven?
I'm not.
The hype around it?
I'm not. Okay. Lay it down.
No. You're better off not knowing.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. International Tabletop Day came and went on April 29.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone notice?
No,
I think someone on Twitter said something.
I think I was working that day. It's a shame.
Actually, look, Geek...
Lots of people probably had fun.
Yeah, Geek and Sundry have moved to address problems that retailers have been having participating in this event. They've been working with selected distributors to try and simplify participation.
Yep.
But once again, demand for the promo items that they've put together has outstripped supply. And so once again, Australian retailers have been getting shafted.
Well, that's no surprise.
It's just par for the course.
Yeah, pretty much.
In this part of the world. Mm. Comics.
Yes.
You and I have been threatening to just take over a Dice Men episode just to flat out talk comics.
We have. We've been threatening that for quite some time.
For no other reason than just we both like comics.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you a comic book reader?
Sometimes.
Yeah? What do you like? The titles?
I was really into Ultimate Spider-Man when that was first.
Sure, yeah. Miles Morales, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going to be a character in Homecoming.
Oh, wicked.
I think, maybe.
Homecoming actually looks really good.
It does.
I was all like on my high horse like, I'm so sick of Spider-Man movies. They got to stop doing this. And then the trailer came out and I was like, you got me again.
Yeah, they'll keep doing that. They'll keep taking your money.
Is anyone reading Lazarus by Greg Rucka?
Yes, of course I am.
Yeah.
I read everything.
You read everything that Greg Rucka does as well because he's awesome.
Well, and it's also an Image comic, which I do read everything that they do because they are the best in the world. Sorry, Marvel and DC, but you got enough money.
So it's kind of a post-climate change Game of Thronesy sort of thing with feudal families.
Future Game of Thrones is exactly what it is, but it's not that futuristic.
Lots of genetic engineering thrown in and warring over crops. And stuff.
Each of the families that own bits of America, which is like six different families, they each have like a sibling that's basically half cyborg, and they use them to kind of as their bodyguards and the leaders of their army.
And that's that's the Lazarus of the family, because they just keep, you know, you can't kill them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, getting its own RPG.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'd be down with that.
From Green Ronin Publishing for their modern age system. If you want to delve deeper into that world, because Greg Rucka has done a lot of decent world building in that one, so that's worth marinating in.
Mm-hmm.
And another comic, Red Star. Did you ever read that?
I probably did, but it doesn't ring a bell.
It's sort of an alternate history of the Soviet Union.
I assumed that.
A lot of that Russian propaganda style art, but like a Soviet Union with magic and airships and mechs and stuff. Very influential on the Dust miniatures game, and equally on Scythe.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that.
A game we still need to get to the table
yet again,
which is releasing a second expansion called The Wind Gambit. Which
we haven't even got the last one to the table yet, have we?
No.
Yeah, we've got to do that.
The Wind Gambit sounds like trying to get away with a fart. Anyway.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Rambo, the board game.
It's a good reaction. It's a good reaction.
That was what I thought as well.
That was pure excitement, gentlemen. Yeah.
It's from a company calling themselves Everything Epic. These are the same guys doing the Big Trouble in Little China game.
Oh.
So
That's that game that has Brandon Lee in it, right? I wonder how many times we're going to bring this up on the show.
Rambo is going to be a co-op with some kind of legacy-like mission envelopes.
Oh, for the love of... So I assume it's based off the not the first film, which is rather depressing and dark and screwed up.
And the only good one.
Yeah.
It's more the later ones where it's just like, yeah, wasn't he good with those big guns?
Well, apparently there's not even enough characters in those films to actually include in the game. They're having to make some up.
It's because he shot them all.
I'm less than interested, but this is going to be fun watching the Kickstarter, especially after Terminator, the board game.
I was about to say, there was a Terminator one that had...
Right.
Two different boards. One was set in the future, one was set in the past. And I was like, that's really interesting. And then looked at it and went, hang on, literally no one's backing this project whatsoever. And I think it ended up getting funded, you know, good for them. But it was a Terminator game that I can't remember how much it made, but it weren't much.
You could tell they had all these stretch goals lined up. They were ready for it to go monster, and it just never happened.
I mean, that could be my ignorance. It could be amazing, but I was just like, oh, this is not going well.
You can now play Catan on PC. Yes, we're all waiting for it. Via Steam or online for free to a point.
I don't even like to play it on a table, so this is interesting.
But the fact that you can't play Catan completely for free online with all your friends has greatly upset a lot of gamers who think that they should be able to do everything online for free.
Oh, nerds entitled, who'd have thunk it?
And so the whole problem of monetizing the internet continues. But look, these people aren't quite as upset as the Russian government is about Pokemon Go.
They're just generally upset about everything.
22-year-old player...
They just can't figure... They can't finish their Pokedex. They're really mad.
22-year-old Russian player Ruslan Sokolovsky, who faces 3.5 years in prison for playing... For attempting to catch Pokemon inside the Russian Orthodox Church of All Saints in Yekaterinburg, somewhere in Russia. A particularly holy site in Russia. He wandered in there playing Pokemon Go, was blogging the whole thing on YouTube, and made a joke about not being able to catch the rarest Pokemon of all, aka Jesus. and quoting him from that video, he said, "This is because, like the rarest of Pokemon, he doesn't exist." Okay. Now, regardless of your take on that sentiment, I think we can all agree that in a country that values freedom of speech, somebody should be free to post that on the internet if they want, but not so in Russia.
Yeah.
Which has taken a fairly dim view.
But it's also, it's a bit of a not cool move. And I imagine a Russian church is the most intimidating place in the universe. That would be my assumption.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's an easy enough thing to sort of snicker at, you know, Pokemon Go, straight to jail, do not pass, go, click, or whatever.
Yeah.
But not for young Ruslan.
I'd forgotten his name already, but it did cheer me up hearing it. Poor guy.
All right. So
Pokemon in prison.
How am I going with the board gaming news so far?
Yes, you have not overlapped as far as I know, but I do have memory, what's the word? Issues, that's the one.
I'm going to come back after this and try and keep it going. Edge Radio 99.3 FM, it's the Dice Men Cometh.
Hey Mark!
What?
Did you know Rule and Make, Australia's benchmark game developers?
I do know them. I've met them at PAX. What the hell's Trent doing?
He appears to be spoiling our recording for some reason.
Well, I heard that they're coming all the way to Hobart.
They are.
For the launch of their introductions to the Hand of Fate card game.
Hand of Fate? Never heard of it!
Yeah, shut up, you. Hand of Fate Ordeals, it's called. The adventure card game of life and death.
Oh, I saw a video of it online. It looks pretty epic, actually.
It does. It's a strategy adventure card game for 1 to 4 people. Can you stop it? Thank you. Trent, we've got to be
just
professional.
Just ignore him. Just ignore him, Leon. Just keep going.
We're supposed to be professional now. We get paid for this. Either way, the game looks awesome. You're battling monsters. You're going through dungeons, fighting big monsters. The events, they're going to be running in Melbourne and in Hobart this weekend. You get to do the opening scenario, which only takes about an hour or so.
And so there's Facebook events for this on the Dice Men Cometh page.
Yes.
And on Gatekeeper Games, it is in Melbourne.
Yes.
And Area 52 here in Hobart.
Yes, it's Friday the 12th at Area 52, which is 104 Elizabeth Street, 6 o'clock till late. And the Dice Men will be there. And then
Hand of Fate Ordeal, rock on!
And we've got Saturday the 13th at Gatekeeper Games, which is 323 to 327 St George Road, Fitzroy North, Victoria. For God's sake, Trent. And the Kickstarter is going to be launching on the 22nd of May.
Kickstarter!
So come down and see Alistair and Alan and play some cool new games before it gets launched.
I am a metal god!
Oh, that's just horrendous.
Okay, Tanya's going to have a go at back announcing a song.
Right, have ready? It a crack, guys. Right, go, here it comes. Okay, oh, yeah, that was Vexation by The Garden. That was right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep,
sweet. Yep. And you are listening to The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3.
Yeah, FM.
Yeah. Nearly got there. And, FM.
And this week, proudly brought to you by?
Area 52.
Yay!
And that was like 80% of a good lead-in.
And they're good because...
They're just chock filled with games.
Yeah, that'll work. That's a thing.
We're not needed anymore. We can go.
Oh, no, they're leaving. What do I do? Everything's
actually
on fire.
Actually, wait, because I haven't finished that news.
No.
In the biggest news in the Dice Men's world this week, Leon announced his intentions to buy a Munchkin game.
I did indeed. I didn't think you'd put that in the news. Basically, I've recently gone on a bit of a tear listening to a podcast, which is called, I can't remember, it's these couple that are comic book working people. They explain the X-Men from the start.
Oh my God.
So from when X-Men existed until, and they go through all of it up until now.
All the chronology.
Yeah. Wow. The reason I can't remember their name is because they changed it halfway through.
Look it up in a minute and tell me what it is.
I think it's called Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men.
Oh my God.
And I've been listening to it and loving it because I can't read those old books because they're very difficult to read old comics. So I've been listening to that and liking it. And then I saw that there was a Munchkin game that was Munchkin X-Men. And you know, I thought, you know what? I tried Munchkin once like 5 years ago and can't even really remember it. I love the X-Men, and the art had X-Men on it, and I thought, I might buy that game. But then I read into it and realised it's basically an expansion for Marvel Munchkin, so I'm probably going to have to buy that first.
That's how they get
you. So the big news is I may be buying two Munchkin games.
It's all right. I actually own Munchkin Adventure Time.
Well, so. There you go.
I own zero Munchkin games. I am morally superior to you both.
Yes, pretty much.
No one ever denied that.
I honestly can't even remember how the game plays. I have no idea. So it could be my favourite game ever.
If I remember rightly.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Mensa Select has announced its 5 Mind Game winners for this year at the annual Mind Games competition in Texas. What? Did Mark talk about that last week?
He did, but what are you going to say
that
about it?
Did he name the games that won?
You named the people that were in it. I don't know who said who won.
Did he mention that Harry Potter's Hogwarts battle was one of the winners?
Yes. Yes, he did. To which I said it's supposed to be a good game, but I haven't played it yet.
All right, fine.
And in that exact same tone of voice as well.
Also, look around for some other news. New edition of Warhammer 40K?
Nope.
Yeah, well, that's a happening thing.
Hey, there you go.
It's the 8th edition in the game's 30-year history, so now's your chance, Tanya, to get on board the Games Workshop Warhammer cart.
I remember when 5th edition came out, and I thought, I'm going to wait for 8th.
No news on whether or not Games Workshop are going to eliminate... a fur from the game the way Peter wanted them to do.
That's right. There was that in the Warhammer game.
People
the
for
fantasy,
the ethical treatment of animals
because there was like you know barbarians and goblins and stuff. They would you know in the fantasy realm would have fur and stuff on their garments. And Peter would.
Oh,
not.
And Peter objected to this imaginary fur.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter. Same way as when
Mario put on like a squirrel suit and everyone went bah! As opposed to you know taking care of
look.
What
a
are
lot
they called?
Of cartoon squirrels died to make that suit.
Yeah.
Have some respect.
God forbid we go after what are they called? Real issues. That's the one.
Look, Games Workshop has actually taken a leaf from Wizards of the Coast by engaging with their audience for once with the new edition, which will see every unit point score revised for faster play as Games Workshop tries to broaden the appeal of the game. They're obviously trying to move over a little bit more into the board gaming side of things by making it a little simpler.
Yeah, there's a tad more competition now than there was 20 years ago, so it's probably best to change it up a bit.
And in the last bit of news, Kickstarter... Well, it's only if Mark's going to do news, then I should do Kickstarter.
Yeah, just totally silly thing.
Yep, right. It currently features a deck-building combat game called Ivian. Have you seen this?
I haven't.
All right, so it's nicer. I mean, fairly generic fantasy art, but it's okay for what it is. 892 cards in this combat deck-building game. Lots of characters, some epic artwork, including a poster for an item that appears to have had a little bit of, well, shall we say that the theme for it has been lost in translation.
Right.
A card, what's happened, is a card labelled Bramble Smash was...
I don't even know what it's going to be, but I just think it's funny anyway.
Was ordered from a Russian illustrator who had no idea what that meant, typed it into Google Image Search.
Oh, dear.
And thought that Bramble referred to the fruit of that of that tree, of that plant, rather than to the thorns.
Right.
And hence, we have a wizard standing in amongst a forest full of berries that they're calling the Berrymancer.
Amazing.
And he's
know that the art director got that back and went, I love it.
And he's all decked out in, you know, really dark, sinister robes and surrounded by raspberries and blackberries. It's lovely. But look, full credit, the kickstarting campaign has gotten right behind, because it took off on Reddit, they've gotten right behind it, and you can actually buy the poster.
Amazing.
As a bonus for Ivian, and it's still got some time to go on Kickstarter. And that's the news. And that's the end of this week's episode with Darth, Luke, and Admiral Akbar.
It's a trap.
Uncanny. Uncanny.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking time out of what precious little free time you have to come in and join us.
That's fine.
I am charging you by the minute.
Oh, my God. We're doomed.
We need to do more sponsorship stuff now.
All right. And speaking of which, thanks again to Area 52 for looking after us and for sponsoring the Dice Mint Cometh.
Indeed.
On Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We'll catch you next week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of the Dice Mint Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, offering comics, books, card games and board games for the whole family. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au. And find us online at thedicemencometh.com.